The Windows Media Stream for the live broadcast of The Chris Perillo Show is provided by Limelight Networks. Listen to the live Chris Perillo Show in Windows Media Player. Download the latest version of the player for Mac and Windows users at Microsoft.com/Windows Media.
So, sir, I just want to confirm that your subscriptions are for Time Magazine, Playgirl Magazine, and, I'm sorry.
You're right. You forgot Jugs.
Oh, Jugs.
Yes, absolutely.
Since you know it's recording.
Absolutely.
All right, good. Fair enough. Todd Bishop from the Seattle Post-Intelligencer writes the weblog specifically for Microsoft, correct?
Right. It's all about Microsoft.
Now, that's it. So if it isn't about Microsoft, it doesn't show up on your weblog?
You can define that in a lot of different ways, and a lot of different things relate to Microsoft. So I end up getting into, you know, Apple, Mac OS X has been a big topic lately, Apple's pod-catching plans, and Linux, you know, pretty much anything relates, so it's a pretty loose definition.
So how long have you been doing that, specifically for Seattle PI?
Well, just about a year and a half. We started it back in September 2003, and it's within my own little sphere, it's taken a life of its own to a certain extent. I mean, my main job still is writing stories for the newspaper, but I'll go places and get introduced, just as you did just now, as the as that guy who writes the Microsoft blog for the Seattle PI.
No, wait, you said we started it. Were you instrumental at all?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's an assistant business editor here by the name of Michael Wan, who I work together with pretty closely, and it was sort of the kind of thing where he and I came to the conclusion pretty much simultaneously that this would be a good thing to do, the weblog. And so that when I say we, that's what I mean.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this effort kind of came along at a time where not a lot of people, at least as far as professional journalists were concerned, were really seeing blogs as something as a viable means of communicating with their audience.
Yeah, I mean, there were a few at that point who had been. I definitely was not the first, but you're right. It was sort of in its infancy at that point.
Well, let me put it this way. If it's anything past a year ago, it was pretty early.
I guess so, yeah.
You know, it's quite surprising. But the Seattle PI, if I can call it that.
Oh, yeah, that's the common nickname.
Okay, so, like, are you related to Magnum at all? Or is there a Magnum section, possibly?
You know, we're looking into that.
Okay.
I'll pass along that recommendation.
Not like you haven't heard that before a million times, right?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Okay. So I noticed that you've also gotten into podcasting as well.
Yeah, the newspaper has. I haven't personally, but our food writer, Xiao Qing, is really looking into, and actually does, regular podcasts, sort of as an outgrowth of the reports that she does for the newspaper.
How popular has that been received? Or how popular has it been? How well has it been received?
I don't have the statistics, but there is a lot of buzz around it, and she's actually gotten quite a bit of attention. And I know that she does get quite a bit of downloads, people doing it not only through podcasting clients, but also through just people downloading the file directly from the site. And actually, it's interesting because, you know, not only the external audience, but the internal audience. So it's gotten the attention of a lot of the editors within the paper and also at our parent company. We're owned by Hearst. So I think it's probably something you're likely to see not only here, but at other papers too, based on the reaction.
Is that the only audio, podcast that you're doing?
It is. The newspaper right now, it is the only audio podcast that we're doing.
Which is funny, because the newspaper is doing audio.
Right, right. And I'll tell you, I was actually at a meeting last week, and one of the things that people were talking about was, hey, maybe we should be podcasting the morning editorial meeting every day, which actually is kind of an intriguing idea.
Wow.
Yeah, wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah, sort of like a fly on the wall. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. I don't know if they're actually going to do that, and it was sort of thrown out there in a very casual way. It wasn't like, make it so, but it's an interesting idea.
That is quite you're repurposing content.
Exactly, exactly.
Giving voices to people who otherwise, it's like sometimes you read people for years and years and years, and then you meet them, it's like, you're not the person I thought you were at all. Have you ever experienced that effect, Todd?
I'm not sure exactly what you mean.
Oh, so like the way you write is the way people perceive you to be when they meet you in real life.
Oh, yeah, yeah, exactly. I know what you mean. Well, it was kind of like that with you. I mean, I got the sense from your writing that you're just this very subdued guy.
Wait, you're serious?
No.
Okay, thank God. Oh, my God, I got to work on my personal voice.
but, yeah, no, you do get that. And I think it's this whole issue for newspapers is an interesting one right now, because a lot of people in traditional newsrooms do sort of wrap their professional identity in that, you know, that thing that lands on the doorstep every morning. And so it's just sort of an evolution right now. And I think you're seeing traditional newspapers, you know, realize that really what they provide is that content. And in the end, it doesn't really matter the medium that that content travels through.
Yeah, I understand what you mean.
Yeah.
Now, how many other people are blogging for Seattle PI?
Well, in terms of actual beat reporters doing it, right now I'm the only one. There's been a few others that do it on more of a project-by-project basis. Like one of our reporters went up for the crab hunting, or the crabbing season about 2 years ago, and, mm-hmm. and they do sort of special purpose blogs. But we also have some of our new media folks, like Brian Chin does his Buzzworthy blog, and Mike Thompson does the Mariners blog. And so it's just that they're not beat reporters doing it.
Now, when you say beat reporters, I mean, like, are you like snapping your fingers and, hey, man, this is really hip stuff?
That's right. Yeah, obviously, no. Like covering a beat for the daily paper. Yeah.
But yours is just like all Microsoft, which, you know, you're in the right city.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you ever run into a dry day, like, you know, Microsoft doesn't do anything that exciting?
Pretty rarely. I mean, the company is, I mean, you could pretty much devote a newspaper section to them every day if you wanted to.
But of course, they haven't spent the money to do that yet, right? Is that what you're kind of hinting to, Todd? Without saying it, it's okay. Well, it's I don't know if you caught this bit of news. Yesterday, Microsoft released it wasn't like a big news thing, but they released a viewer for RAW files.
Right, right. I was reading a little bit about that.
It works, but it sucks. That's my take on it. When I tried it, it definitely works, but it's inelegant, I think, is the easiest way to describe it.
Okay.
And
yeah.
It broke a few things that it should not have broken, and it just looks horrible.
Yeah,
ghastly.
And, so. And my understanding is that they're going to be putting some form of that into Longhorn.
Well, they should.
Yeah.
So, you know, by now they should. So wait, if you were up on this, how did you find out about that bit of information?
Well, actually, no. I may not be remembering that correctly. But
no, I'm just curious. I mean, how do you? I guess the larger question is how do you come across the news that you would post on the blog, the Microsoft-centric blog?
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, I'm personally not to give them an endorsement, but I'm just a huge Bloglines user, so I use that as my aggregator, and I mean, I've got the way I set it up is I've got. Just a huge list of, you know, not only traditional RSS feeds coming in, but also, Google News alerts and just alerts from any other kind of thing that I can set up through the email capabilities there. And I even use that in conjunction with Factiva. I don't know if you ever use Factiva, but they've got an email transmission capability. So I just sort of use blog lines as my pane. And I'm sure I think there were stories on a lot of the trade sites about adding raw support to Longhorn in that particular case. So, yeah,
it's interesting to see that you've kind of shifted from a lot of the traditional means of getting information to. Well, I really hesitate to say syndication is non-traditional because it's but it really has been for quite a while. What was it for you that attracted you to, if not blog lines specifically, then just syndication or news aggregators in general?
Well, I mean, I think it's the traditional things that attract people to that. And the two main ones for me are just being able to go to one place and spend my time there and see everything that I want related to a particular subject. But also the ability to know that I don't have to visit a particular site if it hasn't been updated. I mean, just having that being bold or not bold as a very subtle indication of, you know, whether or not it's fresh. It's just a huge time saver to me. And so to me, those are the two main things that were just huge attractions to that whole syndication model.
Do you find yourself the only reporter in that sense, a beat reporter, or just anybody who would say be working at Seattle PI, who has actually adopted that method of getting information?
I tend to be something of an evangelist in that way. So just among the other reporters, I mean, we talk about it and I show them what I do. So I think a few others have started doing it.
So no reporters are saying, yeah, just fax me the information. I'll get it on my teletype.
Well, it's interesting because I think they've even taken the fax numbers off of our business cards. At this point.
Really?
Yeah. In fact, let me look. I'm pretty sure it's not even on there.
That's huge, dude. Congratulations. I mean, sometimes people just want a fax.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. No fax numbers.
Oh, my God. Thank you, Seattle PI. You are leading the way.
Yeah, trendsetting.
God. No, you seriously, you'd be surprised at how many companies that you work with who still rely on faxes for transmitting information.
Yeah, and we still do, let me be clear, we still do get some faxes.
Oh, certainly.
With information every day.
But it's all spam. It's all like Viagra stuff, right?
Right. Well, no, I think there is like some of the stock stuff. You know?
Okay, sure.
Yeah. Some of the brokerage houses, I think that's the way they still prefer to do it.
So let me ask you this, from a credentialed reporter's point of view, if there's one thing about RSS or syndication in general that you could change, what would it be?
Oh, wow, that's an interesting question. Let me think about that for a sec.
I'm not known for my stupid questions, Todd.
Right, that was just a stalling technique.
Oh, sure, of course. I do it all. I just repeat things over and over again, ad nauseum.
So what you're saying is, what one thing would I change or add to RSS?
Yeah, what would change, add, what would you like to be different?
Oh, wow.
If you had a wish list. I know it's kind of it is a broad question. I don't even know if I could answer it, but I asked the question, so beat you to the punch.
Yeah, let me see.
Sorry, I don't have any...
No. Actually, yeah. The one thing is, and it's kind of basic, but I think there still are repositories of information that are not yet touched by RSS feeds. And in particular, I mentioned Factiva earlier. They've started doing some limited RSS feeds, but it's more, you know, editor's choice. Here's our favorite stories for the day. And for me to have a sort of service like that, it's sort of like a pseudo Nexus, you know, LexisNexis.
Oh, wow. That takes me back.
Yeah. So to have a service like that that's just providing this comprehensive news coverage, things that you won't even get on the web unless you're subscribed to this particular service, to have them offering RSS feeds, I think would be a huge step forward. So to answer your question, it's that, you know, expanding that pool of content that you can access in that way is really for me. And really, you got to figure that's only a matter of time. It's not technology, obviously.
We'd hope it's a matter of time.
Yeah.
So out of all the things you've ever done, either in print or in audio or, you know, online, what's your proudest accomplishment?
Oh, wow.
And it's a personal, professional, I mean, in just what is the one thing that stands out in your mind is like the thing that you did that you're just like, I did that, you know, and you're really proud of it.
Oh, wow. That's a great question, too.
Todd, I'm not known for asking stupid questions. that's going to totally come out wrong, I'm sure. But hey, this is audio. I can always go back and edit it.
Yeah. nothing's coming to mind immediately. Isn't that sad?
It's not sad. We can always come back to the question.
Yeah.
This is like Family Feud. You know, we're going to bring in your coworkers after this and top five answers on the board.
That's right.
I haven't watched Family Feud forever, and the fact that I remember that is kind of scary. But, you know, what were you voted? Let me ask you this. Were you voted anything in high school? Like, most likely to be?
Oh, I mean, honestly, yeah, you know, the succeed one. I got that one.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you think you've achieved that amount of success in what you're doing? Now, why? Do you say that?
You know, I haven't toppled any presidents or, you know, company executives yet.
So that's your goal. You want to, like, you're going after Gates. You're just like, that's the Microsoft blog or the Seattle PIs. I'm kidding, obviously. You wouldn't do that. Would you, Todd?
Hey, if it were justified, right?
Certainly,
you know? I mean,
certainly.
If the facts justified.
So you were voted to be the most successful. How would you term success? Seriously.
I sort of characterize that in terms of personal satisfaction, in terms of whether or not I'm personally fulfilled with what I'm doing, and whether or not I look forward to coming to work every day. And I know that sounds somewhat cliched, but I mean, really, that's pretty important. And you know, for my purposes, yeah, the answer is that's in that way. I feel like I've accomplished that because I'm sort of had the gumption to stick with something that really doesn't pay that well. Journalism as a profession is not known for, you know, turning you into an early millionaire.
or a late one at that.
But it's really professionally and personally satisfying. So in that way, it's a good thing.
Is that what kind of keeps you going then every day?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And the cool thing is, I mean, and I'm sure you get this too in what you do, really, what a great profession to sit there and try and figure things out all day. You know, it's you're in just a constant state of discovery, and I think that's what attracts a lot of journalists to the profession, and what makes people blog, you know, or do podcasts.
Having straddled that line more so than I, which format and method do you prefer? Do you prefer blogging, or do you prefer writing for a larger publication? And to separate the two, when you write for print, usually you're in a different voice than you are if you're sitting in front of a computer terminal and type, publish instantly.
Yes, slightly, yeah. It really depends on the setting, I think, and the thing that you're writing about. The great thing about writing for newspapers is that you've got this, you know, this infrastructure around you that's supporting you. You've got editors, you know, talking through story ideas with you, and that's something that I think a lot of people, when they publish on a weblog, really don't have. You know, the disadvantage then is that, you know, sometimes things can happen more by committee in a newspaper, and it might not be nearly as punchy as somebody writing for a weblog. So, you know, I see the benefits and the disadvantages of both sides, and it really just sort of depends on what you're trying to accomplish, I think.
When you introduce yourself at, let's say, a function, a party, do you always introduce yourself the same way?
Yeah, and maybe this isn't as progressive as you'd want it to be, but I just always say, you know, a reporter for the PI. I mean, if it gets down to a professional, if it's
certainly
a professional introduction.
And no, it's completely honest.
Yeah.
And you make that choice largely because you find your identity in terms of a career as working for Seattle PI?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, like, the problem, too, is at this point, if you said, yeah, I write a weblog for the PI, you'd just have to sit there and explain it to people.
Yeah. You have to. Well, it's the same thing with podcasting. You have to de-explain it before you can actually explain it.
Exactly. And I imagine you probably have to do that more with podcasting than with blogs at this point.
It's funny. Someone had sent me a link to an article the other day about, and I think I've even mentioned this on my program, or have done it in an interview before, but someone sent a link to 10 easy steps to consuming RSS or getting RSS. I'm like, no, that's like 9 steps, way too many.
Right.
Are a lot of the people who work for Seattle PI as progressive in the sense that, you know, they've embraced email, you know, they see what you're doing with this Microsoft-centric blog as just as valid as what they're doing in print?
Yeah, I think it's definitely getting there. I mean, I think there's a general recognition at the paper that, as I said earlier, it doesn't really matter in the end how you deliver the information from our perspective as reporters, as long as, you know, you get it across. And so, yeah, there's definitely a coming around to that way of thinking.
Who's the coolest person you've ever been able to meet thanks to your job at Seattle PI?
Oh, wow.
Or just coolest people. I'll make it broader for you. And I think you still haven't answered the question of your proudest accomplishment,
right,
just to remind
right.
you.
Okay, all right.
I keep tabs on these things.
Okay, yeah, on the hot seat here. Let's see. I got to think about that one, too.
Oh, man.
I mean, when you think about it, it's pretty cool to meet people like, you know, obviously Bill Gates.
Uh-huh.
I got a chance to meet Richard Clark, the former cybersecurity advisor at RSA, but I'll tell you, apart from that, because that's sort of the obvious answer, I mean, being able to talk to a lot of, even just the researchers at various companies who are just completely into what they're doing, and even if it's not necessarily aligned with a specific business objective, I mean, that's pretty cool to be able to sort of be on the ground level like that and talking with people who are, you know, potentially influencing things that are going to be 5-6 years down the road. That's a pretty neat position to be in.
Have you ever broke a story?
Have I ever broke a story?
Yeah.
Oh, sure. I mean, there's degrees of certain things. I don't know exactly how you define breaking a story, but let me think. I mean, even basic things, like we were able to, a very simple thing, break the fact that Microsoft wasn't going to be expanding in Issaquah, you know, as it had planned to, which is a big deal locally.
Yeah, because a lot of people live on the plateau.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Spoken like a true Seattleite. Right,
I'm learning. I'm learning.
So, you know, I mean, there's increments of breaking stories, but we certainly we try and get out ahead of things. So in that way, yeah, definitely.
Do you value breaking a story more than you value getting the straight scoop?
Well, I mean, it's a balance, and if the cost of breaking a story is getting something wrong, obviously you have to err on the side of caution there. So, I mean, yeah.
No, have you ever broken a person? No, I'm kidding. Obviously, that would not be your proudest accomplishment, I can imagine. Okay, so let's try to narrow that particular question down so we can close that chapter of our lives. Personally, what are you most proud of? Personally, not professionally.
Let's see.
Gee, Todd.
I'll tell you what. You know what I'm most proud of?
You're killing me.
No, I know. Okay. Back in high school, I was an awful tennis player when I started playing as a freshman, and by the time I got to be a senior, I was all league. That's probably the thing I'm most proud of, just sort of having that determination to stick with it.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
So do you play tennis now?
I do. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Professionally?
No.
Are you any tours or?
No. Recreationally.
So what else do you recreationally then?
Oh, let's see.
And remember, this is going to be broadcast on the internet, so five people are probably going to hear this.
Right. Yeah, big into tennis, basketball, video games, hiking. Everybody in Seattle's into that, though. And
Everyone in Seattle's into video games or
well,
hiking?
Well, into hiking. And in video games to a certain extent. I mean, you've got both Nintendo and Microsoft here, so.
Oh, Nintendo's here. That's right.
Yeah, they're actually right across the right across 520 from Microsoft.
So if you had a game system, what would you pick? I mean, if you just one game system in the entire world.
Well, I mean,
old or new, it doesn't matter.
Oh, wow. Man, I was a huge ColecoVision fan.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Do you remember that?
So you remember Mousetrap or something? It was like the mouse ran around the maze with eating cheese. It was a Pac-Man clone.
Yep, I remember that one. I'm trying to remember the other games we used to play, but that was
ColecoVision.
Yeah, that's sort of embedded in my mind.
I think like maybe you and about a dozen other people. Of course, now you can download a ColecoVision emulator in
exactly.
the ROMs.
Exactly.
Do you ever find yourself wanting to do that?
No, that's a good idea. I'll have to try that out though.
You know, what's it going to hurt, Coleco? You know, I mean, come on.
Right.
So were you the guy on the block that everybody hung out with for the video games, or did someone have an Intellivision down the street?
Oh, somebody did have an Intellivision down the street. That's a good point. But no, I would just hang out with my friend Carl growing up, and we would play a lot of video games on the Coleco.
Man, all three of them, the selection of Coleco video games.
Right.
I do remember the ColecoVision, though.
Yeah, it was good.
I think I saw one of them in my entire life.
That's right. I think when the NES, I'm getting my timeline mixed up here, but that pretty much rendered the ColecoVision obsolete.
Oh, pretty. Yeah, that wiped the walls. I mean, we had an Atari 2600 up until that point, and a friend had an Intellivision, and then NES came out, and then it was just like, that was it.
Right.
And it really was the only selection. I think, at that point, I think Sega kind of had a few systems out there, but nowhere near the penetration of Nintendo. What the hell happened?
Right.
You know, now it's almost just the opposite.
Yeah.
Do you do any handheld gaming?
Not much. I mean, I've played around a little bit with the DS. I have a hard time just ergonomically with the DS,
mm-hmm.
And played a little bit with the Game Boy. But no, it's not something I do regularly.
Pick up a PSP.
Okay.
And I hate Sony. I'm serious, Todd. I hate Sony. Pick up a PSP.
Yeah, I've demoed it. I've tried it out. It's pretty impressive.
So you would rather the kind of games that you would play are just more kind of pick me up, put down. You're not a huge gamer, but you'd enjoy video games.
Yeah, and I tend to do it, you know, sitting there in my den and you know, playing obviously with the tennis connection, one of my favorites is Topspin. So yeah.
So you said den, not your desk at work, right? Just in case your boss is listening.
Exactly. Exactly.
But you're doing research. Like, Microsoft just released a new game. Why not get that beat? The Xbox Microsoft beat.
Yeah, exactly.
That's pretty hot.
Yeah. Well, I do get to cover Xbox and Sony and Nintendo. I got to go to E3 the last couple of years, so it's not a bad gig.
No, it sounds pretty solid. So we can expect to find you at which URL?
Oh, okay. Let me find it here.
See, no, that's a problem. When someone asks you, you've got to get something, like, this is what you do. Get an alias.
I know. So we have a long one. It's blog.seattlepi.nwsource.com/Microsoft.
So you're going to talk them into getting a redirect for you, like toddsmicrosoftbeat.com or something?
Yeah, we do need a redirect, you're right.
But that when you have to look up a URL to share it. Oh.
Yeah, I always accidentally flip the NW source in the Seattle PI. That's why I did that.
So. Oh, yeah, I can imagine having that in there. NW source, is that a broader?
It is. And so on the business side, the Times and the PI have a joint operating agreement, just like the Chronicle and the Examiner used to in San Francisco. And so from a web standpoint, NW Source is sort of the joint online presence.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Well, I think you're probably one of the first journalists that I've ever interviewed for the show.
Well, you did a good job. So. I don't know how well I did in terms of answering the questions, though.
Yeah. You did good, Todd. You answered the questions. You didn't dodge them.
Okay, yeah. Try to be direct.
It's fine. You did well. And just to verify your address for the magazine subscription.
Yes, that's 101.
You know, it's funny. I actually got a magazine subscription for the first time in a long time, and guess which magazine it was? Just guess.
I don't know what.
Mad Magazine.
Oh, of course.
I walked by, the little flyer came out, and I'm like, that's not a bad price. I'm like, you know what? I haven't read Mad Magazine in forever.
Oh, this was voluntary. I thought maybe you just got it in the mail.
The Windows Media Stream for the live broadcast of The Chris Perillo Show is provided by Limelight Networks. Listen to the live Chris Perillo Show in Windows Media Player. Download the latest version of the player for Mac and Windows users at Microsoft.com/Windows Media.